This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
As we press on through Romans 10, we reach verse 5. We are talking about the difference between law and grace, and we're continuing with that. And he starts by talking about how Moses describes the righteousness that comes from the law. Much as we said last time, the man who does these things will live by them. And that comes from Leviticus chapter 18. He'd written out the law, he's spoken out the law, and he says the person who does these things will have life. And that's the old covenant. Do and you will live. And of course, we know they couldn't do, and God provided graciously lots of provision for those who didn't do, and the sacrifices to make you right again, which of course were simply a way of looking towards what Jesus will do in the new covenant. And it's because of what Jesus did that those who perform those sacrifices or had them performed for them are made right because of Christ. The sacrifices pointed to something more than the law, because the man who does these things will live by them implies those who don't will die. The sacrifice of Jesus, mirrored or prophesied through the sacrifice of sheep and goats, made them right. But the contrast, Paul says, with the new covenant is the righteousness that by faith, and then he goes into this quoting of the Old Testament, if you know that's what you're looking for, thank goodness for study Bibles, I say, don't you? What's he on about? Why is he saying this? Well, let's read what it says in the Old Testament. It's actually Deuteronomy chapter 30 and about verses 12 and 13. Well, I'm going to read from 11. And Moses is writing down what God is basically saying. What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I'm commanding you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live. So Paul is taking that, changing it slightly and saying, look, even the old covenant wasn't so far away that you had to go up to heaven to get it or cross the sea to get it. And certainly with Christ, we don't have to go up to heaven to bring his blessings down. We do not have to go down to the deep or cross the sea in order to bring his blessings up. No! What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. And he says, this is what we need to receive the new covenant. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the difference. It's not a do this to live. It's a believe and confess this and you will be saved. You will live. So we need to be people who will be saying, proclaiming, stating, Jesus is my Lord, and believing that God raised him from the dead, that he might be alive in our hearts, and we might then be alive. In other words, it's to believe what God has said. Earlier on in Romans, Paul said, Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Where was that? That was in Romans chapter 4, wasn't it? And it says in verse 3, Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. That's before the law. Abraham believed, he had righteousness credited to him. And Paul is taking us on this long journey and brings us back to this same basic point. Righteousness, life, salvation comes from believing what God has said. It comes from believing what Jesus has done. It comes from believing the gospel. That's what we're called to do. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can't get with this without there being resurrection. You can't get to this without there being crucifixion. You can't get to this without the person of Jesus who has done it all for you, and to say, I believe he has done it. There's no works I need to do for salvation except the work of believing what he has done. For it is, this is verse 10, with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You believe with your heart, with your passion, with your desires, you believe. Don't notice he's not talking about your mind. Our mind often gets assailed with doubts. Our mind gets logic, it gets all sort of confusions of the things we see and feel and touch. It's our inner self. Someone called it their knower, the place where you know God. It's in there. And that's where we believe. And our mind needs to come in line with that so that we speak, Jesus is Lord, and I believe he was risen. You see, your voice is controlled by your mind. We need to get our mind controlled by our inner heart that knows this is the truth. And I sometimes find myself where I just am taking something that God says in the Bible, possibly about healing, possibly about him being with me always when things don't feel great, and say, okay, circumstances are this, but this is what the word says. Lord, I choose to believe your word. Right now, I choose to believe your word. I will believe your word. I will believe you. And it is sometimes a bit of a battle to get ourselves to that point, but that is the only work we need to do, to come to that point of saying, Jesus is Lord. His word is true. I believe it. That's all we have to do. It's not necessarily easy sometimes, but it is the work of God to believe the one he sent and to believe everything that he says in his word. That's what we're called to do. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It says that in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Paul's quoting it here in verse 11. And he goes on to say, now there is no difference between the Jew who has grown up following the law and the Gentile who has grown up lawless in terms of the law of God. We are all the same. The same Lord is Lord of both and all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's from Joel chapter 2, and it's verse 32. And it's part of that great prophecy of Joel, where he is talking about, this is from verse 28, afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day, dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. And Paul is saying that's not just for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to do a bit of an overlap with next time, because I think we're going to start at verse 14 next time. But I just want to go on to 15 this time, because the theme just slightly changes now to talking about proclaiming the gospel. But we'll finish this with how can they call on the one they have not believed in? You see, we're told to call on the name of the Lord. We're told to make Jesus our Lord with our proclamations and a believe in him with our hearts. But actually, how can they believe in the one they've never heard of? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? So he's getting to the point now of saying, do you know, this is why I'm going out. This is what I'm doing. This is why I am who I am. I am this apostle, this preacher, this evangelist. This is why. Because in order for all to be saved, firstly, all must hear. And the only people who are going to be saved are the people who have somehow heard of Jesus and say yes to him. And that's the great call that's now going to come in the next part of this chapter. But to underline and to finish with, you don't get saved by going to church every week. You don't get saved by taking communion every week, or as the Catholics would call it, Mass. Mass has nothing to do with salvation. Attending Mass, being at Mass, has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is to do with, is Jesus your Lord? Do you proclaim that? Do you say, I follow Jesus? Jesus is my boss, my Lord, and I believe that he died for me and he rose again, and I believe the word of God. That's what salvation is, and all who do that will be saved. Verse 9. That's the good news.
He lived for you. He died for you. He's forgiven you. Ooh. How can you doubt that he loves you?
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.